to an extent that we could lie down in peace and get sweet rest, right? Psalm 4. And anytime I find myself not being able to rest, then I go back to Psalm 4 and I read and proclaim and I believe. And then I'm able to trust him and just lay back down and sleep. I think rest is so important for us in the body of Christ, right? The enemy has the ability to attack our minds to a greater extent when you and I are at a place of unrest or weariness or tiredness. And the American dream has allowed for us to consider rest as almost laziness. And we must rest. We have to rest. Jesus rested. And so just rest. I want to read this statement before I pray. This is another statement from Watchman Nee, as I said yesterday, one of my favorite writers. And so if you get a chance to read this book, it's called Watchman Nee. It's called What Shall This Man Do? Every book that he's written, they're incredible. They're a little hard to read sometimes because he was a Chinese evangelist. And so it's been transposed, but it's just tough, kind of a tough read. It's real heavy. But if you get a chance, read his stuff. It'll blow your mind. Here's what he said, and I think it's so important for us to receive these. I'm gonna read two of them, actually. Number one, it says, wherever the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ is recognized, there his kingdom is. And wherever that sovereignty is not recognized, there his kingdom has not yet come. Think about that for a minute. Wherever you and I recognize and acknowledge the presence of God, and when I say recognize and acknowledge, I mean recognize and acknowledge that Jesus is king and king over our lives, there his kingdom has come. What's so important about that? Well, when the kingdom of God comes, what's available for you and me? Everything, anything, right? Anything is possible, anything. Anything is possible. Think about that for a minute. It doesn't matter the disease that we face, the sickness that we face, the trouble in our relationships that we face. It doesn't matter what's come against the church. It doesn't matter the demonic forces that are arrayed against our community of faith. If we will acknowledge and recognize and honor Jesus as King, his kingdom has come. And when his kingdom has come, all things are possible for those who believe. Today is one of those days. Isn't that awesome? Today is one of those days where we can believe that his kingdom has come and anything is possible. No matter how long it's been this way in your life, whatever that means, no matter how long it's been this way, no matter what the doctor said, no matter how long your kids have had, Craig says it, no matter how long our kids have gone stupid and are stuck on stupid, today's a day when you and I can believe that God can break in and anything can take place. Here's the second statement before I pray. Watchman Nee said this, if the kingdom of God is to be established on earth, then men, you and me, men and women, must be brought under the unquestioned rule of God. Man must bow to the absolute authority, dominion, and sovereign rule of Jesus Christ, because it's his kingdom that is to come. I want to submit this before I pray. Too many of us in the church have been trying to unveil our kingdom, our dreams, our desires, our wants, the way we see it ought to be. I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying in the church, I think that's a major issue. And the reality is there can only be one visionary in the church, and that's Jesus. He's the head, right? And if you and I could all plug into what he wants to do, his kingdom has the ability to be expressed through us, right? And when his kingdom comes, once again, anything is possible. So when Jesus comes in our settings, in these gatherings, or at our job places, when we are, see, I believe wherever God calls us to serve him, whether that's at our job, wherever it is, that's our pulpit, right? That's the place where we have the ability to be the inbreak of God's kingdom. You and I have the ability to be the portholes of heaven, wherever we are, at any moment. It doesn't matter if you're in the restroom. It doesn't matter if you're in the motel lobby. It doesn't matter if you're at your job site or in your home or visiting the grandkids. wherever you and I are, if we really believe that it's his kingdom that is to come, and we have surrendered ourselves so that his kingdom can come and it's not ours, then at any moment, anything that he wants to take place has the possibility of taking place. And I guarantee his glory is always revealed. We look at this word glory, and I am going to pray, I promise. But we look at this word glory, and this word glory, it really means fellowship, right? And we read these stories in the scripture, and we have this grandeur picture of glory, and yet God is trying to reveal to us moment by moment that we are experiencing God's fellowship. Jesus prayed it, right, in John chapter 17, that we would be one as he and the Father are one. What does that mean to be one? That means that we are in unity and we are experiencing the oneness of the Father, that we are in fellowship together. And I think we could live a life moment by moment, continuously satisfied by the Spirit and continuously thankful for what God is doing if we would actually recognize in the seen realm the fellowship of the Father day by day in our lives. When I get up in the morning, I'm so thankful that he's given me another day to breathe. Now, for me as Paul, right, to live as Christ, but to die as gain, just the same way for you guys. It'd be better off for me if I went to be with Jesus. It's better off for the church if I remain and allow Jesus to perfect his glory through me, because he raised me up to equip the body of Christ for the end time harvest. And so he's got a desire that he wants to dream through my life. And if I'll continue to remain dead and allow him to dream his dreams through me, then his purpose will be fulfilled, and it's greater for the church for me to remain. You know, we always say this, it's good to be seen. I think it'd be better to be in his presence than it is to be seen in this world. Come on. Wouldn't it be better to be there? But as long as we're here, our main function and goal is to yank his kingdom to this place so that we can experience the inbreak of what it is that God wants to do in our midst. Wouldn't you agree that we've done all we can do and we just can't get it done? We need him. And so let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. I just sense a deep peace. Now, you know, Lord, that I'm passionate. And so I can yell and scream and run all over this place and have a blast. I can, and I want to. But it's not my kingdom that is to come. And so, Lord, I submit to you, and what I experience in the Spirit is that you want to display in this room today a peaceful, beautiful, attractive picture of what it looks like to operate in the kingdom. And so we ask you to pour out your kingdom in this room. Let us experience the reality of your fellowship. Overwhelm us with your goodness and truth today. We worship you, Jesus. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm gonna talk about healing today, but before I do, the Lord laid something on my heart this morning that I want to share with you. Is that all right? Just this is extra and it's free. I just think this is so beautiful. This morning, the Lord was speaking to me about this reality that all of us in the church are pregnant with promise. Everybody in the body of Christ, we're all pregnant with promise. I mean, if you've allowed the Spirit of God, right, to have his way in your life, God has dreams. I talked about it yesterday. He has Psalm 139:16. He has dreams that he wants to live through us. Now, the way we've structured and arranged the church in America, it's kind of this pyramid where one guy's in charge and yet we understand that we submit to our general superintendents, we submit to the polity of the Church of the Nazarene, our district superintendents, we submit to the leadership of the local church, who is the pastor, and yet in the body of Christ, all of us have the ability to be gifts to the body of Christ. All of us have the ability to prophesy, to hear God's word. We're not like the Catholics, right? It isn't the Pope that's the only one that has the infallible ability to hear the voice of God speak, but all of us have the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak. We talked about that yesterday. And so I believe God has dreams for each one of you in this room. You, sis, God has incredible dreams. And he wants to impregnate us with his dreams. Now think about this for a moment. When we become pregnant, when women, you that are moms have experienced this, when you become pregnant, things have to change in your life. Come on, right? I mean, your shape changes. Discomfort becomes a reality for a period of time. Is that right? I mean, sometimes I hear ladies talk about their backs hurting, morning sickness. Like as I said, the shape of the body. Sometimes you feel like you're pulled forward and you tend to lean backwards to kind of balance what's going on. So there's discomfort. There's maybe eating arrangements have to change. Your lifestyle has to change to carry this child, right? And to be able to give birth to a healthy baby. Well, I would submit that we're all pregnant with God's promise. And the reality is if we would recognize it, then we can understand some of the discomforts that are taking place in our own lives. And we could agree with God. A couple of years ago, I was on my face praying in our local church. If I wasn't preaching, then I would be in a back room praying for my pastor and for the church while he was preaching. And what I experienced in those moments was great prophetic downloads from God. He would tell me when there are people present in the service that had cancer, and I could pray against that cancer. He would tell me when my pastor was under attack while he was proclaiming truth, and I could pray against that attack, and it would be removed. It was beautiful. I mean, it was incredible just to agree with what he was saying, and I would proclaim this truth. But he told me this profound truth that shapes me still to this day, and I hope will till I die. He says that, Jay, he said, my people continue to shy away from the very tests, trials, and afflictions that I allow into their lives that actually has the ability to shape them and to reveal my goodness and strength towards them. He says, my church continues to shy away from these things, suffering, thinking this can't be of God because it doesn't line up with the American gospel that's been proclaimed, right? Come on. And yet, it's in the suffering, it's in the affliction, it's in the discomfort of carrying these promises that God has, that God shapes his character in us, and we become charactered in Christ. Things in our life has to die and be removed so that the fullness of the promise can take place. Here's what's happening in the church, and here's what Jesus told me this morning. The church is pregnant with promise, but because we are unwilling to allow ourselves to go through suffering and enjoy the suffering because it transforms us, what we are giving birth to are Ishmaels rather than Isaacs, because we're getting in the way of what God wants to bring to pass. And when you and I get in the way of God's dreams, we begin to try to bring these dreams to pass in our own way, right? Just as Abraham and Sarah, right? Come on. Surely it's, God, you promised this 19 years ago. What's going on? His clock's different than ours. And maybe if we would submit ourselves to the process of caring. I mean, some women actually become sick with gestational diabetes during the process of carrying this little child in their womb. Think about that for a minute. And we would question, would sickness be a part of what you're allowing in my life to reveal a greater glory, God? Think about it. If we run away from suffering, if we run away from tests, trials, and tribulations, thinking that can't be from God, then we will always circumvent giving birth to the Isaac, which is the dream of God, and we'll always go about our own way, right, to give birth to an Ishmael. And we recognize in Scripture, and even in our current history, that when we give birth to an Ishmael, there's always dissension, there's always fighting. Are you with me? There's always trouble. Terrorists come out of an Ishmael. Death and murder come out of an Ishmael. Anyway, that was just for free. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is laying that on my heart this morning, and I thought, I felt like he wanted me to share that. And so, let's talk about healing this morning. We see it all through Scripture. We recognize even in Exodus that God did a mighty work in his people, keeping them well. I mean, God's grace, he had this ability to heal his people, to keep them well, to keep them from sickness and disease. And so it's God's desire all through Scripture. Would you agree in the Garden of Eden that it was God's desire that we would be well and live forever before sin entered the picture, right? So would you agree that at the end of the story in Revelation, that we're going to a place where there's no sickness? Come on, no crying, no sorrow, right? So would you agree that in the middle, where we live now, It's God's will still that you and I would live without sickness in our bodies. He wants to heal us, right? He wants to heal us. So I want us to get today, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us regarding healing and our role in what it looks like to bring healing to a broken world. Because people all around us are sick. What if God could raise up in sons and daughters in this place the ability to see people come into your midst Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever you have your prayer meetings, and to recognize that at any moment, because you believe, because you have to believe, that's the reality, you have to believe. But if you believe, it's nothing you muster up. It doesn't mean you don't need to have great faith. Faith is just given by the Holy Spirit. So you just need to have faith. You just need to be in a constant relationship. But if you had this type of relationship with Jesus, at any one of your gatherings, people that are sick could come in and get healed. What do you think would happen in your community if people started recognizing, you know, that Shipshewana Church of the Nazarene, I hear that if you go there and you're sick, Jesus will heal you. What do you think would change in your church?
We get too small.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. You'd have to, something would happen. You would go through growing pains. You would go through what it looks like to be discomforted, pregnant with promise, right? You'd have to have more than one service. Come on. Your pastor, I'm just making sure I want you to be prepared for this. It's the reality. I love, and don't turn there. I just want to read Psalm 103. You guys know it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, he forgives our sin, who heals all of our diseases, our affliction, our disorders, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies our years with good things, so that our youth is renewed like eagles. I believe it's God's desire to heal. I believe it's always God's desire to heal. The reality is we're in a world that's filled with sin, and so God doesn't always get his way on earth. Would you agree with that? But would you also agree that because we've prayed for people, we've not seen people healed, and usually we pray for more people that don't get healed than do, that we usually give up and we change our theology and we begin to believe that, wait a minute, maybe it just wasn't God's will this time. Or we say this, well, you know, I believe it was God's will to heal, and his will to heal was to take them home. And we do recognize that when we get to go be with Jesus, that is the eternal healing. That'll last forever. But that's what scripture shows is that God's desire is to heal people on this earth. And what we see as we travel this earth, we see people healed every single week. I preached a message last week in Evansville, Indiana. I taught in a morning session just like this on healing. And as I taught in this on healing, at the end of the time of sharing the word, I demonstrated the kingdom. Because we believe, as Paul said, the kingdom of God is not just in word. It's not just in a good sermon or good preaching, but it always must come in a demonstration of power. We must believe and give God an opportunity to demonstrate his power is present in this room. We saw a demonstration of God's power last night when our song leader up here on the right side was delivered during a time of singing. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's the God that we serve. That's a demonstration of power. That can't happen by man's conjuring. That can't happen any other way than the kingdom of God must be in our midst. And when we see that, we recognize, because Jesus always gives signs and wonders. Signs reveal, or they attest, as I talked about yesterday, the presence of God's kingdom. It reveals that Jesus is present. And wonders are designed to elicit a response from onlookers. And so when we see wonders, signs, the Holy Spirit begins to persuade us to believe that God is in our midst. And at any moment, what just took place in their lives might be possible for my life, right? What does the word testimony mean? Do it again. The word testimony, it really means, literally in Hebrew, it means do it again. And God wants to do it again. As we travel the nation, we share testimonies, and I'm going to share more today, of what we've seen God do in our midst as we've got out of the way and we've allowed the kingdom of God, his kingdom is the one that is to come. We've allowed his kingdom to flow. And when we see that, we always see kingdom activity. Now listen, if Jesus, let's say that clock on your back wall represents right now, me focusing just on Jesus. If I focus just on Jesus and his kingdom, Matthew 6:33, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. If I just stay focused on Jesus, then the reality is I will be experiencing kingdom activity all around me. There will be people being saved, sanctified, delivered, healed. It'll be natural and normal. And it's weird that it can become natural and normal. And it is natural and normal for us as we travel to the United States. We see it every single church. We don't go to a church where we don't see the kingdom of God actually break in and do amazing, mighty things. People are saved. People are healed. People are delivered. People are sanctified. It's just a natural function. It's a byproduct of focusing just on Jesus. But let's say I was just decided, I want to really focus myself on a healing ministry. And if I started focusing on a healing ministry, I would be off target because I would be seeking after manifestations of the kingdom rather than the one who is the king of the kingdom. Are you with me on that? We must stay focused just on Jesus. And the byproduct or the natural, supernatural, natural result of being fixed on Jesus will be that I will be a person who walks in signs and wonders. It's just the reality for all of us. And if we're not walking in signs and wonders, it's either because we don't know yet, we haven't had the revelation of God's word that reveals that we can, or we've bought into a lie of the enemy that says it's just for the pastor, or it's just for evangelists, or it's just for healing ministers. And that's not true. It's for all of us to be able to walk in this power. And so go with me to Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see this morning. You guys know these scriptures. The Bible's antique, but it's going to become alive this morning in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at Jesus summons his disciples together in verse 1. And he gives them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, this word heal is the Greek word therapeo. It means to come alongside a brother or sister who is weaker in the faith, someone who has a weakness, whether it's morally, spiritually, or physically. It's to come alongside them to walk with them, to journey in life with them, to put your arm around them, do life together. It's a picture of discipleship. Are you with me? And listen to this. You got to get this because this should be you guys, wherever you go. The person in the room who has the most powerful or the strongest anointing, where does the anointing come from? It comes from, number one, our position in Christ, right? And our obedience to the word. If we stay, as Dan talked about last night, close to the fire, close to his presence, and we remain obedient to the voice of God, then the anointing will increase on our lives. And here's the second thing. Anointing, the anointing God puts on our lives, listen, the anointing is never about the person who carries the anointing. It's always about the people who draw on the anointing. I can prove that through scripture in Acts chapter 5. But Randy Clark, he's one of the greatest teachers on earth, scripturally, and demonstrators of God's kingdom and his power. He says this, and I love this. Randy Clark says, "I'm the donkey's colt that Jesus rides to town on." Think about that for a moment. I'm the donkey's colt that Jesus rides to town on. Are you getting that? You and I are simply the service vessels that carry the anointing of God. The anointing of God will affect us. It'll transform us. It's an all-season, all-weather anointing. We see that with Elisha when he picked up the anointing, right? The mantle from Elijah. But the anointing is designed for those people that are receiving the words that I'm releasing. And here's what's so beautiful. The anointing works this way. It's released in power when people are hungry to receive what God has. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your pastor has so much truth locked up inside of him. I mean, so much truth. And I'm sure you've seen an incredible demonstration of God's kingdom and love and mercy and grace through your pastor. But I can tell you, you've not tapped into what God has for you through your pastor until you really become desperate for the kingdom of God. See, you unlock what's locked up inside your pastor. He can study like crazy, and he can bring powerful messages from the pulpit that will tantalize your mind. But if you come hungry for Jesus, then all of a sudden, supernaturally, you unlock the anointing that he hasn't even understood what it is yet on him, because it's bigger than what any of us, I don't even understand. It's bigger than any of us can understand. The anointing that's on us, you too, brothers and sisters, is so big that you and I can go into a room where somebody's dying of stage 4 cancer, and in an instant, they can be healed, set free, and delivered from that disease that's killing them. I mean, you and I carry the supernatural power of God in our lives. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Are you with me? There's never a hopeless moment for you and me as Christ followers. You're getting this, right? And as you and I become hungry and desperate, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize that they are beggarly. Remember what I said yesterday? They don't have a greater anointing in third world countries. They just have fewer options. If you and I would narrow our options down and begin to really draw upon what God has placed on those around us, then we could unlock the anointing that God's put on people around us. And when that, this is why it's so important. It's the anointing that brings healing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, right? The anointing of God, when you and I are hungry, it's the anointing of God that has the ability to set people free and deliver them from bondage, from demonic bondage. And I can tell you, without a doubt, because we travel from church to church to church to church, and we meet with people that look just like you guys every single day, and they're all in bondage. They've all been wounded. They've all been hurt. Life is hell sometimes. Are you with me? Sometimes hell unleashes its worst against us through other people, right? And the only way to get free from that is to release the anointing of God on their lives. That's what's so beautiful about the ministry that Judy and I get to be a part of. When people come to meet with us, they're desperate. They're sick and tired of their life. And so they come with a desperation that unlocks the anointing that's in us, that God's put on us. And that's why they get free. That's why they get healed. That's why they get delivered, is because the anointing is unlocked in that moment. Well, you and I, we carry the Isaiah 61 anointing. Okay, you're getting this. Okay, so heal every kind of disease. You and I, whoever carries, so back to this, whoever carries the greatest anointing in any room has the ability, if the people are around you that are desperate, you have the ability to see the anointing released and everybody in the room yanked up in their faith to a higher level. Are you with me? Wherever you are, you go into your family. Do you have grandkids and kids? So you can go into a family gathering at Thanksgiving, and if you're walking in the fire with Jesus, next to his presence, intimate with him, you walk in that Thanksgiving dinner, and all of a sudden the atmosphere changes because you now have the majority because the Holy Spirit is with you. You're carrying the presence. You're hosting God's presence. And you can walk into that Thanksgiving dinner, and what was just a normal routine gathering becomes an opportunity for an inbreak of God's kingdom that can transform lives, that can heal sick people. And I think we should, as believers in Christ, we should go for it. In love, always in love, we should go for it. Okay, so you got the word heal is the word therapeo. Once again, he's telling us that we need to come alongside people and do life with them. And as we do life with them, the anointing that is in our lives will yank them up. That's why it's so important for us to do discipleship in the church. You're not designed and created to live alone. No man is an island unto himself. Listen, brothers and sisters, one thing we find with pastors across the nation, so many pastors, the enemy's job is to isolate us, each one of us, right? To get us alone. And if he can isolate us, one of the things he can do is he convinces us to shut our mouths. And the moment we quit speaking the prophetic word of God, because our job in the church is to continually release the spirit of prophecy. Does anybody know what the spirit of prophecy is? Revelations 19:10. It's the testimony of Jesus. So you and I all should have an awareness of the testimony of Jesus in our lives right now. So what is the, if I was to ask you, sis, what is the ongoing testimony of Jesus? What I mean by that is, what is Jesus doing right now that you're aware of in your mind, consciously aware of? How is he helping you right now? How is he working in your life right now? Most of us, when we ask for testimonies in the church, we'll go back to some major moment and we'll say, well, God did this for me and I remember this and I remember that. But what is the ongoing testimony of Jesus right now that's alive in your life? What is it? Does anybody have one in this room? Yes, ma'am. That's awesome. Praise God. That's a deep cries out to deep. That's a fulfillment of Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Right? He's not given us a spirit of bondage, of a fear that leads to bondage, but he's given us a spirit of adoption, which cries out, Abba, Father. It's a deep cries out to deep. That's the Spirit of God moving you to a place where you can be closer to the fire. And I believe he's going to heal you in this. I believe he'll heal you today in this room. I've already prayed, but I'm going to believe that even a common cold can't stand a chance. See, we've given flu and cold and all these different things a season. What about giving the kingdom of God a season in our life? There's no sickness in the kingdom. Right? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching. Okay. This word, he says then in verse 1, the end of verse 1, he says, heal every kind of disease and sickness. Now, I said this a moment ago, but sickness, this word sickness, it refers to any weakness that would keep you and I from being able to go out and do great exploits for the kingdom of God. We're warriors in God's kingdom. We're carriers of the presence of God. We've learned how to live this life without seeing the greatness of God being put on display through us. Come on. I mean, it's the reality we have. When there's so much more for us to experience, so much more. I can't tell you, it's so much fun to go to Walmart and pray for people that are sick. And I didn't know all along that Jesus was just waiting for somebody who would practice listening so that he could do what he wants to do through us. Think about that for a minute. Wouldn't it be more fun when you get together with your church body and what about this, sis? You come to church as normal and things are new, whatever they, I don't know what they've been in the past, but let's just say you have an idea of what things are going to be like when you come to church every Sunday and whenever you gather, okay? Because that's usually the way most churches are. But what happens if it doesn't have to be that way? What happens if that is nothing more than an illusion or a deception by the enemy to keep us at a place where we're just, now think about it for a minute. What happens if you would come every single time you came together and you were so on fire for Jesus, you were so excited because you couldn't wait for the next sick person to walk in the room or the next lost person to walk in the room because this is the place where the kingdom of God is put on display and people are immediately affected by that kingdom. What happens if that could be a reality? So my question is, why isn't it a reality? For all of the church, not just the Nazarene, but for all of the church, because it can be our reality. I mean, it should be. Okay, the word sickness, once again, it's any weakness or infirmity, whether it's spiritually, morally, or physically, that keeps us from being able to go out and do great exploits. Listen to me. Great exploits could be taking a dinner to someone who has just lost their spouse or a child. Great exploits could also be going to Walmart and praying for somebody to be healed. Great exploits could also be being in an elevator at a motel and the Holy Spirit all of a sudden says, I want you to pray for that guy next to you. Ask him how his day's going. Great exploits could, are you with me? What it's like? Okay, there's the possibilities are endless. Let's go to Luke 9. Similar, very similar passage. Verse 1. I'll give you just a, I want you to find it, so I'll give you a few more minutes, a few more seconds. Okay, Jesus again, he calls the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And so this word power, you guys know, it's the Greek word dunamis, right? It's the dynamite explosive power of God's Holy Spirit. And every single person who is born again, who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, actually carries this power. But the reality is in the church, at least in America, most people have never experienced that power flowing through them to transform somebody else's life. And that power is locked up in the anointing. How do we know that? Well, when Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, remember this? The Bible says that the heavens were rent, they were torn open. I want to submit to you that every single spirit, born again, spirit-filled believer walks under open heavens every single moment of every single day. And the reason we don't recognize that is because we are still deceived in areas of our mind. And listen to this. Write this down, because most people don't get this, and most of the time people overlook this, and this is so important for you to get this. I believe there are only two types of people that are alive on the earth today. There are those who are already deceived by the devil. There's deception in our minds because we've agreed with lies rather than truth. Jesus said truth is the only thing that sets us free. So the only thing I want you to write down is two types of people, not everything else I'm saying. Two types of people, those who are deceived already. The world's full of people who are deceived, right? The only people who are not walking in a place of deception are those who are walking in a 1 John 1:7 reality. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's a fulfillment of Jesus' priestly prayer in John 17. We are one. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you look up that word unrighteousness, that word regards any intermingling with filth. Now, I'm going to submit to you, it's not talking about you and I practicing sin. Because we already understand in 1 John 3:8, Jesus came, he appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of darkness, right? What are the works of darkness? What is the work of darkness that's come against humanity? The fall, the Garden of Eden, the fall, right? Sin. When humanity fell, the devil's function and design was to recreate humanity, Adam and Eve, in the devil's own image rather than God's image. Because the image of God was removed from Adam and Eve. And what nature did they take on when they fell? Sin nature, right? You with me? So I'm going to submit to you that we recognize also in 1 John chapter 3 completely, and 1 John 5:18, it all reveals this, that anyone that is born of God has the spermata of God in them, the seed of God in them, and we cannot practice sin. Is this truth, Pastor? Am I preaching truth? We can't practice. I cannot practice sin. It's not my nature. I don't even care. I don't even want to sin. Now, I recognize that I'm tempted all day long, off and on, and I have thoughts that come in my mind that are not mine, that are putrid, because before I became a child of God, I filled my mind with things that was on TV and movies and stuff that I shouldn't have seen and watched. And so that stuff will never leave this part of my brain, this back part of my brain. It's always here and it's always floating around. And when those thoughts come to my mind, I recognize this, that that's not me, because that guy's been crucified with Christ Jesus. I only live because I trust in Jesus. And so when those thoughts come, so he says this, when you and I walk in the light, that means we're walking in current revelation. We're walking in the testimony of Jesus. It's alive. That means we have an ongoing relationship where the Holy Spirit is in birthing faith. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse any intermingling of filth that is in my mind. Because I'm not practicing sin. I'm born of God. Why would I practice sin? Right? What did Jesus say in Matthew? Make the tree good. We said it yesterday, and it'll produce good. So, I mean, that's it. So you're with me. So any intermingling with filth. So what he's saying there is, if you and I will walk in the light of the revelatory light of God's word, moment by moment by moment, the blood of Jesus will remove the garbage that tries to come into our minds, the deception of the enemy that tries to take us away from the light. Now, here's the reality. There are two types of people, I said, those who are deceived. Here's the second type. Those who, after they have received the revelatory light of God's word, the devil tries to come and steal away that revelation and take us back into a place of deception. Two types of people, those who are deceived already and those who the devil is trying to take back into a place of darkness. When Jesus prayed in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus was proclaiming a continuous work of God through the Spirit and by his blood that would continue as we journey with Jesus moment by moment, a continuous sanctifying process where we would stay in the light of God's word moment by moment by moment. You see, deliverance would never be needed in the church if we would always walk in the light, right? Because the blood of Jesus would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the reality is, the moment, just like today, I'm teaching you truth. The moment you receive this truth, the devil's job is to take you back into a place of deception. And if you leave this room today knowing truth and believing that you have the ability, sis, to pray for people and see them healed, right? That's revelation. If you leave this room and you don't continue in that revelation, then it's proof that the devil's already taking you back into a place of deception. Are you with me? We can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Is this all right, what I'm sharing with you guys? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, you know that, so we talked about the word power. So here, this other word, authority. Now, Jesus had the ability to give it. We see it in Matthew 28. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now go. He sent us out. We're the sent out ones, right? So this word authority is the word, Greek word, exousia. It's the delegated right to use the power that God has put within you. So let's say you have a local sheriff, right? He has power, right? A gun on his side. If he was to use that gun without being deputized, would that be considered murder? But because he has a badge and he's been deputized by the local state and government, he's been given the authority to use the power. I submit to you, brother, that Jesus has given you the authority to use the power of God's Holy Spirit that's inside of you. I was sitting in a room in a Nazarene church several years back, and I was sitting, I think I was four rows back, about right here, by myself, and there was a lady up on the platform playing what we call prophetic worship. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but prophetic worship. She would listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would write the music as she played it. It's beautiful. And she read some scripture, and then she says, I'm going to play more music. And as she played this beautiful music, she says, I want you to all practice listening in the room. Well, I know how to listen. And so I was delighted. You know, like, I'm like a little kid at a candy store. And I thought, okay, yay. And so she starts playing the music, and I'm listening. And the Holy Spirit drops a word into me. I didn't even know what it meant. I'm from middle Kansas. I grew up in the sticks. And so I hated school. I'm just being honest. And so the Holy Spirit dropped this word in that I don't even use. He said, subjugated. And I thought, subjugated? God, I don't even know what that means. But I knew he impressed this word in my heart. And so I have a smartphone. So I got my smartphone out while everybody else is praying and listening. And I typed in the word subjugated. And the Lord said, Jay, the church has allowed her authority that I've given her to be subjugated to the enemy. The word subjugated means taken hostage and held in captivity. Listen to this, church. When you and I don't walk in the authority that Jesus has given us as his disciples, we subjugate the very thing that has power and influence over demons and diseases. Are you with me? We give it back to the devil. And then what happens as a result? We accept a flu season. We accept the common cold. Are you with me? We accept diabetes. We accept cancer. And we accept all the other miseries that accompany evil in the world. Rather than being those who have the power and authority to bring transformation to a world, we just succumb to the sickness and the disease that's already in the world. Jesus has raised us up to be change agents. Are you with me? Are you guys all right with this? I love this, verse 2. And he says, and he sent them out to proclaim. I love the word. So you got to get this. Underline, if you can, the word proclaim. And he sent them out to proclaim. The reason you got to get this is because what I'm preaching to you and for us is not for the pastor only. Right? We've gotten really good at hiring someone who will preach to us the word of God. And yet you and I are supposed to, all of us, be the message that the world reads. And the world should be able to read the gospel in our lives without us preaching Jesus. Our message is supposed to be real simple, sis. Here's what it's supposed to be. The kingdom of God has come near you. And then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's our message. And yet we have become, as pastors, we're trained to be sermonizers. I mean, we spend hours learning how to prepare messages when what we're supposed to be doing is going through trial, tribulation, and affliction to be prepared to become the message that the world reads Jesus on. Right? Okay, so this last part here, it says, I want you to get the word again, proclaim. That word also usually is translated preach. But when it's translated preach, then once again, we usually always just say, well, that's just for pastors or preachers or evangelists. That's not true. That's for every single person who is a disciple of Jesus. Do you recognize a truth here? These disciples were not Christians when Jesus sent them out. Do you understand that? These disciples didn't become born-again believers until the end of John when Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Right? You got that, right? Okay, the last part of verse 2 says this, perform healing. This is very important because you and I are conduits of God's kingdom. We should be, just as Jesus was the image of the unseen God, you and I have the ability to be the image that God wants to reveal himself through on that. He wants himself to be seen through our lives as we serve on this earth. He wants a manifestation of Jesus to become the reality that we live in as we walk and journey on this earth below, right? And through that, his desire is that we would always let everyone know that Jesus is the healer. And when he says these words, perform healing, in the original Greek, it's a word picture that means that you and I are to journey in this world, releasing the healing of God and always proclaiming, not preaching, but always proclaiming that Jesus is the great healer. He's the great physician. And so where everything we do is to always point to him. And as we point to him, he is lifted up. And he said, when he is lifted up, all men are drawn unto him, right? And so the reason that's so important is that when you and I try to begin ministering healing to people and we start seeing God do what he does through us that nobody else can do, just him, these two words should keep us from getting puffed up. It should keep us from being arrogant. It should keep us at a place where we're humble. Remember Acts 10:38 and Acts 2:22 yesterday? Jesus did what he did because God was with him, and Jesus did what he did because God worked through him, right? Okay, that's just so important for us to get that. Okay, let's go over to Luke chapter 10. I'm so thankful that Jesus is letting me share this today in such a peaceful, it's fun. Okay, so you got to get this. The first two were the original 12 disciples. Now we're looking at 70 or 72 other disciples who don't have names, at least in Scripture. So you got to get this. This is where you and I fit into this picture, okay? Because cessationists who have infiltrated the church across the world tell us that these types of functions of the Holy Spirit are no longer for our day. They were designed to get the church up and going. And the reality is almost every single Christian radio preacher that's on our radio waves, almost every single one of them are Calvinist. Almost every single one. There are hardly any holiness preachers on the radio or TV. Almost every single one of them are Calvinist. And they teach their very understanding of Scripture, the way they understand theology, would teach that all of the functions of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that were flowing in the apostles' days, are no longer needed because they were designed by God to bring the church into its birthing. But once the church was brought into a place where it was moving along, then no longer was that needed. And we disagree totally with that. We believe, it's part of our theology. We have a doctrine of healing in the Church of the Nazarene. We believe in divine healing. We believe that God also doesn't just divinely supernaturally heal, but he also desires to use medicine to heal, right? Doctors and medications. And so we believe in healing. But it's so important for you to get this because underlying behind all Calvinist teaching on the radio today, their understanding is that these gifts and this power is not for you and I to demonstrate today. And the reality is most of our nation is taught under a Calvinist type teaching. We leave our churches and we think we're trying to help by getting the word inside of us. And so most of the time when we drive in our cars, I'm just talking about most Christians that I talk to, we still listen to these preachers that are on the radio because, you know, we're trying to get truth into ourselves. Well, you got to understand that this very teaching that I'm trying to teach you today is being undermined by the devil through preachers all across the nation. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
you're right. It's a removal of Scripture. It's not that they use a verse. It's that they disregard many of the verses that are in the Bible and every one that I'm teaching you today.
Well, if part of the Bible's not true, how many do
right.
you know which part's true?
That's right.
Part's not.
Right.
It's either all true or
right.
not.
And so the reality is they want to take us back to the place where there's one guy that has the revelation of God, and we're just supposed to believe what everybody tells us. And we recognize in Scripture, we're told that we're not to throw away any prophetic utterance. We're supposed to test it by the Spirit and the Word of God. Am I right, Pastor? And yet because we are unaware of truth, or we don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit quite well, the reality is we will either just accept what is a lie, and that'll become, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? What we allow to take, you know how long it takes? It takes 4 seconds for a thought, whether it's demonic or righteous, to enter and to begin to establish a stronghold in our brain. 4 seconds. So we have to be people who are listening and know the truth, or we'll accept a lie. And the reality is, whatever we dwell upon in our belief system will become the way that we live out our lives. It'll become the what we think about, what we dwell upon, what we actually believe about God. And I would submit to you, I'm going to let you share. I would submit in the whole church across the nation, our belief system has been confiscated by the enemy, maybe through well-intended preachers that are uninformed regarding the truth of God's word. Okay, yes, ma'am. That's it. You're right. You're right.
It is written, and it is many times. So if you've got a place in your mind where Satan trips you up, memorize at least 3 scriptures, and every time he comes, you say, it's written.
You're absolutely right.
And he goes.
That's exactly right.
He knows it's true.
That's right. He knows it better than we do, doesn't he? See, that's the issue, sis, is that we lack the ability to know God's word. As we travel the nation, I noticed, I was downstairs praying, Pastor, in that classroom. I read some of the literature on the chalkboard, and I thought, and I'm going to tell this to you guys. I want you to hear this, because I said this last night. I believe this with my whole heart. I believe you guys are very grounded in the truth of God's word. I'm literally blown away at your ability to receive truth and be able to discern whether or not what somebody's telling you is truth or untruth. That's a rarity, sis, in the church. Most of our churches are illiterate with the word of God. We've allowed whatever the pastor says, and if the pastor's not well-equipped and well-trained and not walking in the current testimony of Jesus, then all we're receiving are words off this page or experiences rather than the revelatory truth of God's word and the power of the gospel that has the ability to bring transformation. Are you with me? But I recognized yesterday in this church, this is a different place. There's a foundation here that goes deep, and it's beautiful. Our team is, we're just blown away by it. I mean, God wants to do something mighty in this place. There's no doubt. He's doing it, but he wants to do even more. Okay, I got to get back. I'm sorry, but that was fun. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 10. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them out in pairs. And I remember I said this yesterday. He sent them out in pairs ahead of him, to every city and place where he himself is about to come. Now, I want you to get this today because this is a biblical principle that I think it should be so ingrained in who we are. Every time you go to your job site, every time you go to the store, no matter where you go, we are to always be led by the Holy Spirit. We're not to lean on our own understanding. Do you got that? We are not to be people who assume, and yet we are people who assume, and we can't be that way. So that's a mindset that has to be removed. See, that reveals deception by the enemy in our minds, that we have the ability to assume, this is what God wants me to do today. Well, have you asked him? I'm ministering to a lady, my wife and I, to a lady, and I won't say any more of where she's from or anything, but we're ministering to a lady who's been dealing with terrible anxiety, and she's just a wonderful, brilliant young lady. Judy, how old is she? In her 40s, early 40s? Brilliant mind, brilliant woman. Businesswoman, very successful at what she does. A mom, she has several kids, very successful kids. Comes from a line of Nazarenes who are very successful. Well, they're just good people. She's suffering with anxiety, terrible anxiety. And she had to get on medication. You know, she needed medication because her mind was at a place where her limbic system, which is at the base of her brain, was firing continuously. So she was in what is called a limbic cycle. And a cortisol and adrenaline was being released into her system that couldn't be used because she's not running marathons. So she was living in a constant state of fear in her mind. And the only way to break that is to really focus just on Jesus and allow his reality to become ours. And still, sometimes people have to get on medication to bring their chemical balances back into order. Are you with me on this? Well, she was doing great for a month and a half. I mean, great. And then all of a sudden, she thought she was doing good enough that she could cut her pills in half and quit taking these pills. Well, you know, it took a week after she cut these pills in half. And then she calls me weeping, broken, crying. And I said, well, what changed? She goes, well, I thought that it was time that I start weaning myself off my medicine. And I said, let me ask you a question, very simple, but very profound. Did you ask Jesus before you did that? And she wept even harder. No, I didn't. I said, no, there's no condemnation. You're in Christ Jesus. But just go ask Jesus now what he wants you to do. And he let her know, you need to get back on the medication. It's going to be a period of time for you to take this medication before everything's brought under control so that you can learn to live this out. And when it's time, if there comes a time, then I'll help you get off that. So are you with me? Well, many of us live under assumption. We just make our own decisions, and we can't do that. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, you guys got it. I'm preaching again. So I submit to you this biblical principle that wherever Jesus sends you every single day, he sent you there because he himself is about ready to show up and do what only he can do through you. Wouldn't it be more fun to go to your job place, wherever you volunteer, wherever you love people, wherever it is you go, your local church? Wouldn't it be more fun, Mom? Wouldn't it be more fun as you to recognize that God has given you breath in your lungs today when you get out of bed and you become so thankful for it? And the reason he's done it is because he wants to do something through you that only he can do. Wouldn't it be more fun to live life that way? Recognizing that at any moment there could be an inbreak of God's kingdom, and when God's kingdom comes, anything is possible. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 2. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. So pray to the Holy Spirit, ask him to send out people, right? And so we need to be praying continuously in the local churches that God would call people into the ministry, whatever that ministry looks like. It doesn't have to be professional ministry, but that he would call us by his Holy Spirit to believe these words are true and they're for us. Verse 3, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, I always ask this because it's fun. What kind of shepherd would send his lambs amongst wolves that eat sheep? This is key. This is another principle that's so key that you have to get today. The only kind of shepherd who would actually send his lambs, because shepherd's job is to keep sheep safe, right? Is the kind of shepherd that goes with his sheep, right? He's the only good shepherd. There's no other shepherd that goes, he's the only good shepherd that goes with his sheep. When he sends us out to do these things, he's with us. And the main reason that we don't go do these things that he wants to do through us is because we are scared, because we recognize that we are amongst wolves. Are you with me? That's it. And he is, yes, sis. Right? Right? You're absolutely right. That's good. Let's keep going. Let's see. Carry no money belt, no money bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Verse 6, if there's a man of peace there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it'll return to you. Verse 9, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Let's look now. What happens. They go do this, right? Verse 17. These are the unnamed 70. So these are you and I fit in this category. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, right? Come on. Don't be caught up that demons obey you. Be caught up in the reality that you're my kids, right? Be caught up in the reality that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because everything comes, Remember, if we get Jesus and our focus is just Jesus, then we get everything that comes with Jesus. But if we start getting caught up on celebrating manifestations, healings, then we're missing the target. Because that should be a natural response if we're actually focused on Him. Are you with me in this? Where else do we want to go, Lord, before I share some stories? Let's go to Mark 16. You guys know this. This is the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world." Okay, scratch the word preach. Mine says preach. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons." You see that? "In my name, they will cast out demons." This should be, see, the reason this is important for us to see this, brothers and sisters, is because this should be the testimony of Jesus that is alive in each one of our lives. There should be an ongoing testimony of Jesus that Jesus is using you to command demons to leave, to tear down strongholds in people's minds and lives. And this should always be happening in the church as we are discipling new people into the body of Christ. We should be making disciples that are not even believers, and they should come to know Jesus as we disciple them. You and I in the church, you know what we call discipleship. Once somebody comes to the church and gives their life to Jesus, then we disciple them. Jesus modeled in the scriptures that he made disciples of people who weren't even believers just because they were willing to spend time with him. He revealed the Father to those who weren't even believers because they were willing to follow him. What happens if you and I begin to go spend time with people in our community that are lost, that don't know Jesus, and we begin to invest ourselves into people who are not Christians, so that they can experience the transforming grace and power and love of Jesus Christ through us? Are you with me? We should be making disciples of people who don't even know Jesus. Why do we wait till they come in? If we would actually be proactive as Jesus said, then we would actually be transforming the world around us, because all of us are change agents. What happens if Jesus has dreams inside of you to reach your neighborhood, but they don't come to pass because you're still waiting for people to come to the church and get saved so you can begin pouring your life into them? What happens if he wants you to pour your life into them right there in your own neighborhood? Think about it for a minute. I'm having so much fun. "These signs," verse 17, "will accompany those who," you got to get this, guys. "This is for you and me who have already believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Let's look at that for a moment. What does that mean? Before you and I are born again, spirit-filled believers, what we speak most of the time out of our mouth are curses and death. I mean, think about it for a minute. We have the power of life and death in our tongue. And before we're born again, spirit-filled believers, until we're born again, spirit-filled, we don't have the ability to speak words of John 6:63, words of spirit and life. We don't. That comes by the Spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit. So what he's saying is, when you and I are believers, our words will talk, change. Our language will change. No longer will it just be about what we want to see happen. No longer will we be upset about KU won or lost the game. No longer will we be complaining and whining and murmuring about what's not happening in the church. We won't be that kind of people. We'll be people, you always know believers, because real believers will always be releasing words of spirit and life. And you'll want to be around them because the words they speak are prophetic and they bring life to you. And when you're around, listen, when you come, I'm preaching now, when you get involved and you come near someone who is carrying a promise of God, you get to experience just what Mary, when she carried Jesus, when Elizabeth, when she carried John the Baptist, when they came near each other, what happened? John the Baptist leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. Why? Because both of them were pregnant with promise. Both of them have the spirit of prophecy alive in them. Are you with me?
And you want, when you're pregnant with promise and you recognize it, then you want to be around people who are speaking the prophetic word of God, because it causes what's inside of you, the promises of God, to be stirred up. It causes life to become your reality. And you and I, that are people who are believers, we have the ability to go into the dark world and speak prophecies, because once again, he said, "What I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftops." Why? It's because it's the spirit of prophecy. It's the testimony of Jesus. And when we release the testimony of Jesus, it means do it again, God. And God wants to reproduce his kind in every single person that's born on the face of the earth. He wants the spermata of God, the seed of God, to become impregnated in every single human being around us. Right? Guys, we're having too much fun. It's peaceful, though. It's peaceful. I like it. It's not taking a lot of energy. Verse 18, they will pick up serpents. Now, I know that seems like a little more what Pentecostals might do in Arkansas. But listen, what he's really saying there is, as we journey, we saw a picture of this clearly fulfilled, right, in Paul's life off the island of Malta, remember? Remember when he reached into the fire to stir up the fire and a viper bit him, right? You remember this? And they knew for sure, the people that gathered around the fire knew that Paul would die. They knew he was accursed of God, that he had to be a man that had sinned and he deserved death. And they waited. They waited for them. I guarantee it, because they knew that if a viper would bite you, you would die, and possibly within minutes, but definitely within hours. And so you know they gathered around and just waited for something to happen. And yet nothing happened. Why not? Because Paul was on a co-mission, a collaboration with the living God to bring the message of the gospel to the world. What happens if you and I can become so surrendered to God that he can trust us with his dreams and his message, that he can keep harm from coming to our bodies as we travel in our life, whatever that means, whether it's from our home to our job site? What happens if God, and I believe he does, has the ability to keep us well as we are used of him? You guys, you already know this. Okay. Verse 18, they pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I mean, it's just the reality of the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters. And so I recommission you in Jesus' name today. I recommission my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name with the power and the authority of God to go about healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. Think of that one for a moment. It's happening all over the world. Jesus is raising dead people all over the world. We have people that are in missionaries over in other countries that have seen over 200 people raised from the dead. Are you with me? I mean, it's not, we look at this as, it's crazy. Listen, the enemy has a way of keeping a lid on the testimony of Jesus so that the world can't know what God is doing around the world. But he's doing everything he's always done, he's still doing around the world. And he's inviting you and me in America to be a part of that. He wants to work through that way in our lives. Okay, so a few stories. I went to a little church near St. Joseph, Missouri. And for a while on our district, in Kansas City District, I was a local evangelist. I'm kind of, I don't know how to look at this. I'm a spirit-filled guy. I believe in what the Bible says. And on the Kansas City District, that's almost weird. So I was considered weird. I'm just being honest. Wasn't I, Judy? I was considered weird. People were scared of me because of what I believe. And I don't understand it. It's just in the scripture. I didn't learn it from church. I didn't learn it from Bible school. I learned as I allowed the Holy Spirit to be my tutor and my guide, because Jesus promised in John 16 that he would do that. And so I've learned the Holy Spirit teach me. And yet what I teach and preach, I've just read it out of the word. It's obviously, you see it. So my district superintendent believed in us, loved us, and he would send us into churches that were sick and needed deliverance and healing and revival. And so we would go in as interim pastors or interim evangelists, and we would go in, and what we would see God do was just amazingly beautiful. So we went to this church in Atchison, Kansas, and we went in, and this church hadn't seemed to move. God told me before we went there, he said, "I'm about ready to pour out answers to prayers that have been prayed for over 50 years in this church through you. They've not seen a move of me in 50 years. And I was like, oh my goodness. It was dry like a desert when we went in there. It was terribly dry. I had to lead music. We didn't have, there was no pianist or nobody. I just sang a cappella and led music. It was just really dry. It was almost like the Church of Christ in regards to singing without music. It was weird. And yet I knew that I carried the kingdom of God that had the ability to transform this place. And so I stood up to preach the word. I think I was off to the right side, if I remember right. And I was going to preach the word. And as I started to share the word, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my heart. And he said, Jay, don't preach yet. There are 6 people in this room that cannot hear the words that you're about to speak. They have hearing issues. And so the Holy Spirit said, Jay, I want to heal the people that are deaf in this room. Before I started preaching, I said, okay, the Holy Spirit just told me that there are people in this room that can't hear, and faith comes by hearing. And so if you can't hear, you're not going to be able to receive what God wants to release through me today. And so I said, if you have hearing issues, will you stand up? There were 6 people that stood up, okay? And so I know God's desire is to release a corporate anointing on his church. God's desire is never to raise up one person. His desire is to raise up the whole body. Jesus is the head, right? And so I knew, but I also recognize in the story in Luke where Jesus went to his hometown Nazareth, right? And he tried to proclaim the truth and perform miracles. The Bible says that he couldn't do any great things there, but he was still able to lay his hands on a few sick people and see them get well. And so even when the enemy through unbelief has the ability to take away a corporate anointing, the enemy can never take, if I agree with Jesus and I live in a place of belief, the enemy can never take my ability to allow Jesus to work through me and to release a transfer of the healing virtue of Jesus Christ into a brother or sister that's sick. So you're right? Okay, you with me on that? So I prayed a prayer and I said, all right, test it. Can you hear? Has Jesus done anything? And 3 people, my hearing has been restored. They were just blown away, excited. And so they sat down. And so I said, okay, who, we need to continue to pray. So the next thing was, I want to train people to do what God's called us to. I'm an equipper in the body of Christ. I'm not just supposed to do it, but I'm an equipper. I'm supposed to teach you how to fish, right? And so I said, okay, I want you that are still standing to have people come around you and lay their hands on you and pray a prayer of faith. Now, a prayer of faith, as I talked about yesterday, is not this giant theological prayer that proves you know the Bible. A prayer of faith simply is like Jesus did. Go, pick up your mat, stretch forth your hand, right? I mean, simple things. And so I said, I want you to command their hearing to be open in Jesus' name. And they did this. And then there was another person was healed from that. They sat down. We still had a couple people left that needed to have their hearing restored. And so I knew now that I'm the one in the room that was carrying the greatest anointing. I had the greatest revelation of what it was that I was going to teach. And so I walked to the back of the church and I put my hands on this lady's, that she was probably mid-70s, and I put my hands on her shoulders and I just commanded in Jesus' name her hearing to be restored. And then I just simple, you know, it's not me, it's him. He does it through us. And so I don't have to perform to allow it to happen. I just have to be a conduit so it can happen. And so then I said, can you tell? Is there any difference? And I said, let me walk away from you. So I got away as far as I could, and I whispered, and she was blown away. Her hearing was restored, right? So we have another lady on the front row. We have another lady on the front row. Now, I didn't tell this. I forgot this. But all along, wow, there's this young Chinese young man who was adopted from China, and he was sitting, I think, on the second row over here with his mom and dad. Now, he was missing his left ear altogether. And so the devil was trying to use that lack of an ear to try to get me off from doing what it was that God wanted to take place. And what was the enemy wasn't winning, because the whole time I was believing that at any moment God could actually grow out that young man's ear, because he's still doing stuff like that around the world as well. This is the God that we serve. He can create, right? And so we had, finally there was this little lady on the front row who was in her mid-80s, and she was sitting right here. And I noticed that every time I talked to her, she would yell at me, and it's because she couldn't hear her own voice. And so when she wanted to give a testimony, she didn't need a mic. Everybody in the church heard her because she would scream it out loud. And so I walked over to her and I said, can I hold your hand and pray for you in Jesus' name? And I just simply prayed once again, a simple prayer of faith. And I wish I could say Jesus totally restored her healing or hearing. He didn't. But he did fix her hearing to a level where she didn't have to yell any longer. And I wish I could say it happened at that moment, but it didn't. She went home, and the next Sunday that we came back, her hearing had been restored. Let's say if 100% is whole, her hearing was back to a place about 50% where she could hear. So she didn't have to yell any longer. She wasn't an embarrassment to herself or to other people any longer because of her lack of ability to hear. She could hear. And so I praise the Lord. That was amazing. I praise the Lord for that. Other ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and I want you to be aware of this because I think it's important. I know I'm about done, but I want you to get this. We have the ability to experience what we recognize in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as words of knowledge. Are you familiar with the word words of knowledge, right? And so I receive words of knowledge quite often from the Holy Spirit because I'm listening, and I think you will as you listen. And you can't discredit it. You have to test it by the Spirit, test it by the Word. But I receive words of knowledge. And so this one day, you can receive words of knowledge in different ways. Sometimes they come in your spirit. Sometimes they come physically. And so be aware of pain that enters in your body that is not your pain. Are you with me? And some of you say, well, come on, I have pain that comes in different parts of my body every day. I understand that. But the reality is sometimes Jesus allows pain by the Holy Spirit to enter into our body as a word of knowledge so that we can pray for other people who have that pain. And so one day my wife and I was at Walmart, and this is before I knew this. I just was being taught by the Holy Spirit. We were at Walmart, and I got out of the car, and all of a sudden my right knee was hurting so bad that I was, you know, and I'm a guy, so I'm just going to be honest. If I have pain, I'm a wimp. Come on, you know this, right? You know how we are. Come on. It's the way we are. I'm a sissy when it comes to I was a mama's boy. And when I was sick, my mom would hold the back of my neck and pat my head. So I still want that. My wife won't do it. She goes, suck it up, buttercup. No, she don't do that. I'm teasing. But we go to Walmart, I get out of the car, and I'm like, I'm limping like crazy. And I don't do anything. I mean, this is what I do. You see my life. I go back to the motel room, and I read and pray and spend time with my wife. This is what we do, and we travel. And so I don't do anything to get hurt, and yet my knee was hurting really bad. And so we're walking into the store, and my wife's getting way ahead of me, and I'm whining because I'm a guy, and I'm come on, I pity. I want her to hold me, and she won't, and she keeps going. Well, finally, we make it through the store, and we're over at the card section in Walmart. And which lines up with, in our store, which lines up with another one of the main entrances into the store. And we're there, and all along I'm kind of disturbed about this pain. I'm like, God, you know, I didn't do anything. God, what's going on? And all of a sudden, I recognize, this isn't my pain. It can't be my pain. My goodness, common sense would tell me I don't do anything to get hurt. Whose pain is this, God? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit impressed in my heart, you're right, Jay, it's not your pain. There's a lady that's about ready to walk in the door that I want to heal today. If you'll turn around right now, you'll see her. And I was mesmerized. But I told you, it's a fun collaboration with Holy Spirit to live this life. And it's not just for one person, brothers and sisters, it's for all of us. I'm telling you. And so I turned around. When I turned around, I saw this lady who looked like she was in her mid-80s walk into the door, and she was limping. And so I thought, oh, wow. Now, this would freak for a while it freaked you out, didn't it, Judy? Because I was doing this all the time, and it's kind of, you never know if you're going to get hit, beat up, rejected, they're going to call the police, you don't know. I've never had any of that happen. It's always been beautiful, and everybody has always received prayer. And when the Holy Spirit has told me to do it, every person's been healed. Are you with me? And so you can't make deals with God, but I tried. I said, God, would you allow me to wait until she makes it to the back of the store so that it doesn't make a big, And I felt peace with that. And so I told my wife what I was about to do, and she's, get away from me. She kept her phone. No, she didn't. I'm teasing. She did not. She was immediately praying that what God dreamed through me would come to pass, right? And probably praying that I wouldn't get arrested as well. Come on, be honest, right? And so I wait till this lady gets to the back of the store, and I meet her back there, and I say what I always say. I told you yesterday. I say, I know this is weird, but the Holy Spirit told me that he wants to heal you today. Do you have pain in your right knee? And I still had this pain, right? And she goes, oh, my goodness, Sonny. She said, she's treated me like I was her grandchild. It was so cool. And she goes, I had my knees replaced, and this right knee has never healed, and it's always caused me issues. And I said, well, I believe Jesus wants to heal your knee today. Can I pray for you? And she goes, yes, absolutely. And I knelt down. And I said, can I touch your knee? And it was like I said, you always ask. And so she said, absolutely. And so I just reached up and I touched her knee. And I just commanded once again, just a simple prayer. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave. I command full mobility to this joint in Jesus' name. And I stood up. And when I stood up and I asked her, is there anything going on? Because I don't know. Sometimes I feel a release of God's power, but most of the time I don't feel anything. I just am believing. And she's like, it's gone. All the pain's gone. And I go, praise God, that's exciting. She goes, no, pray for this other knee. And so, you know, God didn't say anything about that knee, but she asked. And Jesus, listen, this is important. Jesus healed every single person that came to him. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in you. And when people come to the testimony of Jesus in us, Jesus wants to heal people. Because when people come that way, they're coming in desperation and humility. And Jesus promised in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, right? I could tell you so many stories and we got to quit because I want to eat lunch. So listen, the reality is Jesus, he's a healer and he still wants to heal today, right? And so I want us to pray for people. If you have sickness in your body, if you have immobility, if you have pain in your body, if you have depression, if you have any weakness in you at all that would keep you from being able to go out and do great exploits of the kingdom, I want you to stand up. Jesus is a healer, and he's here with us because we've just been teaching his word. Right? So good. So I'm just going to pray. All right, would you do this? Would you put your hands out like this? Just a picture of receiving what God has for you. So Jesus, you're in our midst, and I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, right now that the kingdom of God has come near. Thank you, God, that you want to heal us, your kids. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Jesus, you are here, and your word declares in the Gospels that the power to heal was present in the room, and that's because your Holy Spirit was present. Well, today your Holy Spirit has been leading us, been persuading us. You've been leading me for sure. I've never experienced such a release of peace as I've shared. And so right now, in Jesus' name, I just command this room to be a place of supernatural healing, of divine healing. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command mobility to every joint, every shoulders. Right now, all shoulder pain, all shoulder immobility, I command to be gone in Jesus' name right now. Right now, all hips and knees in Jesus' name. I command all tightness in these joints, all stiffness, all swelling, inflammation, and pain to be gone in Jesus' name. You have to leave now in Jesus' name. I command these joints right now to be free, to be able to be moved, exercised. I command mobility in every single joint. Every single joint in the body, in every one of these people, in Jesus' name, I command mobility right now in every single joint. Right now, I command all diabetes to leave this room. You have no authority to be in these bodies. I command all diabetes, no matter what type you are, I command all diabetes to be gone. Right now, in Jesus' name, in this room, I command pancreases to begin to work and function normally. I command all thyroid issues in Jesus' name and all autoimmune disorders to be gone, to leave these bodies in Jesus' name. You have no authority. I command you to be gone right now in Jesus' name. I command all organs, heart, lungs, thyroids, adrenal glands, kidneys, every one of them right now in Jesus' name to begin to function normally the way Jesus created you to function. Jesus, release your healing in every organ right now, every vital organ in Jesus' name. Every vital organ in Jesus' name. Right now, I speak over ears. I command the hearing in ears in this room right now in Jesus' name to be restored. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, all failure to hear clearly right now be broken off and destroyed in Jesus' name. I release the ability to hear in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for restoring our ability to hear today. Now, Jesus, I pray for eyeballs. Right now, I command any issue with sight that keeps us from being able to see Jesus the way you designed us to see. And I touch my eyes. I need it today, Jesus. So I command our eyes to respond to the name of Jesus Christ right now. Every cell in our eyes must be healed right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for restoring our eyesight. I thank you for healing our eyes. I thank you for healing our ankles, our knees, our backs, all back pain right now. Any back pain right now in Jesus' name, I command all back pain to be gone. Full mobility in Jesus' name. I sense someone has an issue with their right hip. And I command right now that pain in Jesus' name to be gone. All stiffness in the area of the right hip in Jesus' name. I command that to be gone. All pain, you must leave now. Now I go to emotions. I command in Jesus' name all depression and anxiety, all fear. I command you to be removed from these people. These are children of God. You have no authority over these sons and daughters of God. So, Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would fill and baptize fresh with joy today. Joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for restoring your kids today. I thank you for your healing presence. I bless you, Jesus, and I celebrate you. In your name I pray. Amen. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to try to do something you couldn't do. This act of obedience is just as important as the prayer that I've just released. What we recognize is that sometimes until people actually start to move, do things you couldn't normally do, that releases the anointing of God through belief to experience the healing of God in our physical bodies. Are you with me? Some, you have to go home, and you'll experience it as you go home. I could tell you story after story of people with MS, stroke victims, who have their ability to have mobility has been restored as they went home, and through the night, they begin to experience electrical currents in their legs, and God restored them, and they came back to the church and testified what Jesus has done. Are you with me? And so Jesus, the word healing takes time. It's released. Are you with me? When a miracle happens, it's in an instant, but healing takes time, and it's always on God's time. And so, anybody in the room yet? Anybody in the room experience healing from the Lord? And if you got, are you guys trying anything? This, my sis is. Let's do this. Will you lay hands on your sis? And you ladies behind, will you lay hands on your sister and command right now in Jesus' name, her fingers and joints to be healed. Just command it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Is it getting better? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I would expect it to get better and better and better. Anyone else in the room that has a physical issue that hasn't been removed yet? What is it? Do you know? Is there pain from it?
No.
Is there any way to test it in the room? Okay, let's pray. So right now in Jesus' name, just like every other time, Jesus, I command cancer to be gone. I command every blood supply, all the blood supply that feeds these cancerous cells right now in Jesus' name to be dried up right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, you have no authority over this body. I command you to die. I curse you in Jesus' name. I command you to be removed. I command all tumors to be removed, to be dissolved in the name of Jesus right now. And I thank you, Father, for releasing supernatural healing into your son. I thank you for strengthening him, for renewing him, for making him whole. Jesus, you came to heal us, and I believe right now that you're touching your son. In your name I pray, and I celebrate you. Amen. 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 I believe it. We've seen so many people with cancer removed, so Jesus is capable and willing. He desires to do this. Another person we can pray for. Remember I said sometimes we have to lay hands on people to release not a corporate anointing, but an individual anointing. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Somebody join the, Judy, join our pastor. Lay hands on our sis. Just command right now all the heaviness of lungs to be gone and open airways in Jesus' name. Okay. Let's pray for our brother over here. Sis, will you lay hands on our brother too? Would you share some of the healing that you've just received into our brother? Command heaviness of lungs right now to be gone in Jesus' name. Open airways in Jesus' name.
Okay, sis, here's what you need to do now. Take a big, deep breath of air. Take two more. Breathe in His grace. He is the air we breathe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any difference? Can you tell? Don't fake it. I'm just asking. Okay, that's good. Just believe. That's fine. Jesus will do it in His own time. We're believing for it. We celebrate. Faith, right? Faith is believing even before we see it. That's what faith is. And you're doing that, sis. So you're doing. You don't have to muster up anything. He's the one that does it all. Amen. Amen. That's so good. Can you, brother, can you take some big, deep breaths of air and let us know if there's any change? And it doesn't diminish my faith either way. I didn't say this, but I want you to get this. We don't pray for people because they're sick. If we did that, then our prayers of faith would always be result-based. We pray out of obedience because Jesus said, heal the sick. Are you with me? So whether they get healed or not, that's not my business. I celebrate either way because I've been obedient. And if we're obedient, we'll always remain in joy. Right? And so I want God to move in your life. We've prayed for it. We believe it. We've done everything in accordance to His word and His will to pray for you to be healed. It's up to Him to do it. You know what He promised in Mark 16, verse 20? That His disciples went about and did what He asked them to do, what we've just done. And He backed them up with signs and wonders that confirmed the word that was proclaimed. All right? So Jesus, right now, I thank You for backing up the word that You had me as Your disciple to proclaim in this house. I thank You that supernaturally You will back up everything that I've just proclaimed, and that bodies will be healed, that minds will be healed, that diseases will be gone, that people will be restored, and that You, O God, will receive all the glory for what You've done in this room, because it's Your work, and we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, enjoy your lunch, guys. Anything yet? Yes, there's something? Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you're gonna let us know. When is that? Tomorrow? Thursday. You got to get my card and call me. Can you do it? Okay. I love you guys. Enjoy your lunch. Bless you.